Welcome back to Figuring It Out, a podcast curated especially for entrepreneurs, leaders, business owners, marketers, and creatives alike. My name is Kevin England, and I am the proud founder and CEO of Vonazon. We're a full-service digital sales and marketing agency that cater to clients all over the world. In each podcast, I take the time to discuss relevant topics that affect businesses today. I pull from my own personal experiences, as well as stories from other people, to leave you with some helpful and meaningful advice. So look around you. So many things that once were considered necessities, such as answering machines, alarm clocks, maps, VHS tapes, CDs, and so much more, have been replaced by our smartphones, digital devices, and tablets. In fact, I was recently at a hotel, and I look over to the side, and there's that alarm clock with a time on it, and the time was wrong because nobody cares to even set it right because we use our phones all the time. Digital advancements have dematerialized our world. The tools people needed are no longer represented by these physical belongings. They're now accessible, and pretty much everything's accessible on our smart devices. Each person today is represented by individual pieces of data called PII, and that's what we're here to talk about. Personally identifiable information. In this episode, I'm going to break down PII even further and discuss some of today's digital targeting measures and how we use PII and how companies use PII. So let's dive in and figure it out together. As of 2021, get this, there are about 4.66 billion active internet users in the world. Oh my gosh, that's a whole lot of people accessing the internet pretty much all at the same time. So it only makes sense that user privacy has become such a serious concern. We all know that staying offline is not a viable option, unless maybe you're 105 years old. But actually, no, my grandmother was using some type of smart device all the way until she was 95 years old. So that's not necessarily the case. It's probably close to impossible for the 21st century person not to have access to the internet. Businesses, governments, schoolwork, research, and even friendly interactions that we all do every day take place in this digital world. It seems like everything in our lives has been reduced to some sort of digital aspect. So let's start at the beginning. What is PII? PII, personally identifiable information, is a piece of data that can be used to identify a person. Well, that's obvious, right? Self-explanatory. It can range from generic information such as your full name and email address to more sensitive information such as your mailing address, social security number, personal passwords, and so much more. It's for this reason that many websites require you to check that little box that says that you've read their privacy policy, although nobody actually reads it. But it's important that you know the reason why you're actually checking, because they're going to collect your personal information. And now that you know what PII stands for, let's talk about the four most common types of data that companies actually collect on you, about you, and from you. And number one is your personal data. This category includes information such as your social security number, your gender, IP addresses, your unique device ID, and web browser cookies. And the next one is engagement data. This type of data lets companies see how you interact with your website, their mobile apps, text messaging, social media messages, emails, paid ads, and even customer service routes. And then number three is behavioral data. This category includes transactional data, such as like purchase histories, product usage information that's like these repeatable actions. And this qualitative data, like even your mouse movements. Why do they want to collect our mouse movements? Now that gets a little scary. And then number four, which is kind of a hard one to say, it's attitudinal. Yeah, attitudinal data. This category includes metrics on consumer satisfaction, purchase criteria, you know, so and more interest, more about what you're interested in. So with all these different types of consumer data, you may be wondering, who's sorting through all this stuff? Well, it's definitely not humans, because we don't have the ability to do that. So obviously, you need to have computers that are going to be able to analyze this data and extract the information from our smart devices and other devices Because unlike humans, computers can basically work 24/7, 365 days a year. They don't need PTO. They don't need a hybrid approach to anything. And they provide recommendations to companies about all the information that they're capturing, gathering, and findings, and push it back out to us so that we can utilize it. Some people believe that the only way that companies extract personal data is if you actually fill out an online form or sign up for some account. Well, I'm telling you right here, that's not the case. There are different ways that websites collect data from you. I'll give you some good examples. Each time you visit a website, it makes a record of your computer ID, your IP address, and what makes you unique, and then tracks it all back to you, which is why sometimes you're wondering if you're doing one thing on a computer, you're doing the other thing on a mobile device, how do they mix the two together? Well, that's easy. That's all based on PII. Websites also utilize cookies, and cookies are these little small text files that collect and store your information on your own hard drive that they extract. And these are things like how many times you visit a website, which pages you visit, your preferences, such as your language or font size or even accessibility services. They know all this information. It's all stored on your hard drive and they pull it all up. Your usernames and passwords, items in your shopping cart, and even your location. But that's not all. Your smartphone also have many identifiers built into them that allow the phone manufacturers, mobile service providers, Wi-Fi providers, and, you know, to collect this personal information about you. The apps that you install on these phones also notify the app developers, the advertisers, the data brokers. Oh my gosh, I entered another word, the data brokers, about your unique habits. And I'll talk more about the data brokers in a bit. When you're using your GPS connected to a Wi-Fi or some type of Bluetooth service that's turned on, you're now susceptible to sharing your personal data. So let me put things in perspective for you. Let's say that you download a Target app and you enter a nearby Target store while using the app and you happen to have your Bluetooth and your Wi-Fi turned on. The store can now automatically start tracking your every move. You're browsing in an aisle and start sending you ads, which could be for products literally right within your reach. I bet you're understanding why so many people are talking about and concerned about data privacy, because it can be a bit invasive. But there's a good, bad, and ugly associated to this, and we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Now that you have a better idea about how your information is being collected, you may be wondering about how your information is actually being used. So here are a number of ways that companies are utilizing your personal data. Number one, which is a good thing, by the way, is to improve customer experience. Many companies use this consumer data to better understand your needs and wants. Your browsing habits and other personal information, such as your location, can give companies a better idea of what you're looking for and how to better serve you, more compelling ways to reach out to you. And since each customer has their own unique individual preferences, your information can help these companies create a customized promotion and these special offers. And recently, this worked really well for me because I'm leaving on a camping trip literally this weekend, and I was looking for a tent. And eventually, what popped up was this advertisement for 15% off the tent that I actually wanted. That was a great way they used my personal information, my browsing information, to give me a special offer. So not all is bad here. Number two is redefining their marketing strategies. So they use this information to redefine their marketing strategies. And we do this every day as a company. Consumer data allows companies to understand how you're engaging with their marketing campaigns based on the actions that you complete. Companies can gain a better idea of how what you do as a consumer. And if their strategy is actually effective and is effective in targeting you, this data allows marketers to segment their audiences and target only those people that will most likely want to engage with your products and services. Also another good thing, because I don't want to receive information on stuff that I don't really care about. So there's another good reason why collecting my data might help in this capacity. Number three, transform data to a steady cash flow. Now, this is kind of what you might look at this as a negative, but I'm going to show you the positive of it. Companies that collect your data can profit from it. these data brokers, I talked about that before, or data service providers that buy and sell user information are part of a very profitable industry. In fact, by 2023, Statista reports that this big data industry, which is what we call it, is going to be worth about $77 billion, which is roughly, I'd say, 70% of Bill Gates' net worth. He's a really rich dude. Advertisers like to purchase PII because it allows them to target the most optimal consumers. Today, the demand for more accurate data is increasing, and more personal information data brokers can collect from every user, the more thorough the data profiles that they can generate and eventually sell off. These data profiles can be sold off to other data brokers and even advertisers, but here's where the positive associated to this is that as a business, it's hard for us to collect this information. So these data brokers help small to mid-sized businesses collect this information and be able to market to the people that are more appropriate to their business, that want to review their products and services. So not all is negative here. Number four, secure private information. This is another good positive thing. Some companies use consumer data as a means of securing sensitive information. Think, how about mobile banking apps that ask you to unlock your account with a Face ID? Good way to use my PII. These types of data collect and minimize the risk of these fraudulent attempts and serve as great personal identification measures. So much consumer data is being captured and collected literally on a daily basis that governments have started crafting these strict privacy regulations that are aimed at restricting the amount and the types of PII that's being collected. And here's a really good example. In the European Union, they have something called the General Data Protections Requirements, or GDPR. And many of you might already know what GDPR is. And it lays out these strict rules of data capture, storage, usage, and even sharing of information. And even though this law was drafted and passed for the European Union, it actually affects everyone who tries to target or collect data that's related to people in the EU. GDPR forces organizations to ensure that the data is collected legally. And if companies don't comply, there are all these strict repercussions, such as like these large fines that go into the multi-millions of dollars. But GDPR has, you know, kind of come under fire recently because it's done the adverse effect, and it's now confining the power to the large corporations. The strict regulations it enforces have actually pushed advertisers to give their businesses to all the tech giants instead, because they don't have the ability to collect this information. Companies like Google and Facebook, because they have the means to collect and to process this consumer data and the content to be able to collect that information. And as a result, smaller companies have found it even harder to compete with the larger corporations. Now, this is a huge pet peeve for me because I am all about the small to mid-sized business. It's not that I don't work in the enterprise space as well, but I'm all about the small to mid-sized businesses benefiting as much as possible so that we can be on equal footing with some of the bigger corporations. Data privacy rules have also even made it into the United States more recently in the form of the California Consumer Privacy Act of 2018, which is called CCPA. This act applies to both businesses and data brokers and is somewhat similar to GDPR, but it differs in that it requires consumers to opt out of data collection rather than putting the sole responsibility on the service providers. So CCPA gives the consumers the right to know about their information, how it's being collected, and how it's being used and or shared. They also gives them the right to delete their personal information. So you can contact and say, hey, delete my information. Or you can say, I have the right to opt out of that information. And I want to know that it's not going to be sold off, transferred, shared with anybody else. So moving forward, there will likely be more governmental measures that will be imposed upon data collection and digital targeting. But data collection is essential for businesses who want to remain competitive well into the future and our future. And failing to do this will really hinder our long-term success. So we need to find this hybrid approach, this balance between the two. And as advancements in technologies become more innovative and we progress further and further into this digitally sophisticated era, more and more companies will have to figure out different ways to capture, collect, and utilize our personal information. And as I mentioned, sometimes this information is put to good use. But sometimes it can be kind of unethical and really raise eyebrows from anybody. So we need to find that balance and take into consideration user concerns as well as the benefits to advertising and marketing or to us. So I'm going to leave you with that. So until next time, my name is Kevin England, and keep figuring it out.